It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Wonderful day to study the Word of God. I ask that you open your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're going to read John chapter 14 from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, verse 31. So please, if you would open your Bibles at this time that you could follow along with me, you'll really enjoy the study of the precious Word. While you're doing this, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Again, we're studying the book of John, John chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse 25 today. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, I ask you that you will guide and lead us today. It is a wonderful day that you have given us to study your precious Word, as each and every day is a wonderful day. Please now guide and lead us as we study your Word, that we once again may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Father, as we finish the 14th chapter and begin the 15th today, I just ask for your wisdom. Please lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at the verses of Scripture here, and it's wonderful to study God's Word. But it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you." The Lord Jesus Christ was standing right there with them, and they were visiting, they were fellowshipping. The Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples what was to come, what was going to come to pass, all those things that was before them. But it tells us in the 26th verse very clearly, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." It's sad today that many people have neglected the work of the Holy Spirit. Some have abused it in the fashion of thinking of the speaking in tongues and healing and things of that sort. That was things that went by the wayside, was set aside many years ago with the completion of the Word of God. That ended with the apostles themselves. And so as we look now to the Word of God as our direction, as our authority, please that we carefully study the Word of God and understand the purpose of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, begins with the work drawing us to the Lord Jesus Christ before we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And then when we have come by faith to the Lord Jesus and have trusted in Him, then He begins to be our teacher. He teaches us all things. And that's what the 26th verse tells us. What's happening today, the church, not the true church, but what we call the church today, and it's just organizations is all it is. They tell a story, they read a few verses of Scripture, and then they go home. Well, today, if you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what has taken place, and according to what we have studied in the past few times we have been together, that He will be in you. At that day He shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The 20th verse of the same chapter 14, tells us. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer upon you coming, confessing your sin before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus will save you. He went to the cross of Calvary, died on that cross. Most people understand that part of it, what Jesus has done, but they just know about Jesus. They need to know Him personally. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. They are given the Word of God. If we will listen and given the Word of God, someone gives you the truth. They tell you that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. You can be saved by grace and grace alone, not by works, giving out the truth. The Holy Spirit will take that word, that truth, touch your heart. Then you have a decision to make, a decision to reject the Holy Spirit's calling unto you, unto the Lord Jesus for salvation. You have a choice of either accepting it or rejecting it. If you accept, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. That's what happens today, this Comforter. And at that time then, for the first time ever in your life, will you begin to understand the Word of God, understand the will of God, and know the Word of God and know the will of God. And it all comes from this, what we have the wisdom here from verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is there for the purpose of growing and directing us closer to the Lord Jesus, to know His way and will. We need Jesus. It's so important that we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to me, with me, if you would please, to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. It's so important that we know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you the Word of God. I hope that you're saved. I hope that you can understand what I'm saying. If you don't know Jesus today, please, that you will trust in Him, feel that calling, and come by faith to Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not have the Teacher, and you'll begin to argue and question what I'm saying because you just don't understand. And the reason you don't understand is because you lack the Teacher, not me, the Holy Spirit, teaching you the way. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Again, "abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie." Please, that you look to that one, the Holy Spirit, for the leadership and the direction. You have a Bible. You have the Word of God. Will you please spend time in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will teach you the truth. It's so exciting to be a child of God. You don't need the schooling. You need the Holy Spirit. That the schooling is fine if you will always, always look to the Holy Spirit for the truth. Because many times that instructor, that teacher, that professor will lie to you. They will teach you their own ways and their own philosophies. It's important, my friend, that you look to the Word of God for the truth and be led by the Holy Spirit in doing so. Look very, very carefully. Let's look back to Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 24. I went by it twice. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high." That was the promise of the Holy Spirit. It said, stay close by, because it's not long that the Holy Spirit's coming, and that's when the Lord Jesus was ascending back to be with His Father. We need His Word. We need the direction of the Holy Spirit to understand His Word. Please, that you look to Jesus Christ. You wonder why back in verse 17 that it tells us, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him." You understand what it's talking about? You must come to Jesus Christ first, or you cannot have the leadership, the direction, the teaching, the wisdom. You can have none of that concerning the Holy Spirit because you lack the Holy Spirit until you come by faith to Jesus. It's a simple step. It's a beautiful step, but it's a necessary step. Come to Jesus Christ first, then you'll begin to understand the Word of God because the Holy Spirit will come to live within you. You wonder why it's all foreign to you right now? It's because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You know, want to know why you don't like what I'm preaching today and teaching today? It's because you must lack the Holy Spirit and lack knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you knew Jesus Christ and you had the Holy Spirit, you would enjoy this today because it's just wonderful fellowship together, one with another. Even though we're not in the same church, attending the same church, live halfway across the country from each other, doesn't matter. Because what matters is that we are of one in Jesus Christ. Because we have both come to know the Lord Jesus, we have the same Spirit, and the same Spirit will teach us identically, the same way. It'll be identical. Please that you listen to the call of God and listen to His leadership. Once again, verse 25, John chapter 14, verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world brings fear and trouble. The Holy Spirit, by the leadership of God, by the hand of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us of God. That brings something into our heart, peace. Peace comes first of all of and through salvation in Jesus Christ. Will you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him today? Will you just do that? Because you will have a peace that this world cannot give. I work in this world every day, and this world has no peace to offer. I don't care how hard I work and how successful I may become in the business world, in things that I can acquire, I will never have peace. I will have two things, though, I can promise you. I will have trouble, and it brings fear. Fear of a lack of having not enough money, fear of losing what I have, fear of not accomplishing something I want to have or something I should be. It's so sad today. The world, it brings trouble and fear. That's all that it offers. But the Lord Jesus Christ produces peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. There'll be a peace come at salvation. There'll be a peace come upon your surrendering and walking. Now the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart. There'll be peace. Now as that walk begins now. Now you have salvation. You have eternal life. Never to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never be separated from God the Father again. Never to be separated from the Holy Spirit. But what happens when we do not surrender to the Lord Jesus? And that's what the next chapter speaks of. I am the true vine, my Father's the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we're going to talk about that maybe a little bit today, and if not today, the next time we'll be together. But we have different levels here. We have no fruit. We have fruit. We have more fruit, and then in the end of the fifth verse, we have much fruit. So no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit can be produced as we begin to surrender to the teaching of the Holy Spirit that's in our heart and in our life. If you want peace, come to Jesus Christ. If you want to continue in peace, in the peace that He has to offer, then you must surrender to His will and begin to follow after Him. It's a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. There is peace there to offer. The world offers trouble and fear. Jesus Christ offers peace. And so it's a very simple. What do you want? Do you want to continue to try to work your way to heaven and neglect the Holy Spirit coming into your heart and walking with Him? What do you want? Because it's here for you and it's a choice for you to make. Philippians chapter 4. At the seventh verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise according to the Word of God. Isn't the Word sweet? Isn't the Word precious as we study it? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the surrender. Come by faith to Jesus Christ and surrender unto Him. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful walk in Jesus Christ. Let's finish reading the rest of these verses of Scripture. We'll enjoy the fellowship with them. Again, I will start at verse 25 so we can keep everything tied together. These things have I spoken to you. Jesus Christ is talking to them. This is right before the cross. Right before Jesus Christ goes to the cross of Calvary and is crucified. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm still here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't worry because I'm leaving. The Comforter is coming. Don't take what the world has to offer in trouble and fear. Follow after me. Keep your eyes upon me. Keep your heart upon me. Listen unto my words, because I'm telling you something, and I'm telling it very clearly. Now follow the rest of these verses. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. I've explained this to you. The Lord Jesus is telling them once again. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, that ye might believe. Why did he explain this to them? So that they didn't worry, so they weren't afraid, and they weren't troubled as the things of the world has to offer. That's the first thing that happens to us as things begin to kind of fall apart, is we begin to worry, we begin to be troubled, instead of looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ and attaining having His peace and His joy in our heart. We immediately move to the ways of the world, and that brings trouble and fear into our hearts. I'm telling you this. Don't have that trouble. You're not going to have trouble. You need not to have fear, because I'm telling you this. Now, right now, you don't understand. But there will be a time that you will understand. And when it comes to pass, that when it comes, ye might believe. Okay, he's telling us very carefully. And see, God will teach us His Word. Many times He'll be telling us something. You'll be studying His Word, and you really won't totally understand what His Word's telling you. But if we'll just listen to His Word and surrender unto His Word, then we can very carefully, and we'll know the will of God, we'll enjoy the will of God, we'll feel the power of God, we'll have the success God wants us to have. And that's not necessarily a material success, but it's definitely a spiritual success, as He will teach us His way. Now, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and hath nothing in me. Let's look at John chapter 12, verse 31. John 12:31, as we flip back a couple of pages of Scripture. John 12:31, and it tells us, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. What's verse 30 says? Hereafter, I'm back in John 14, verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The enemy, Satan, the devil, that old dragon. He is coming to destroy the Lord Jesus. He is coming to destroy every believer. He wants to keep everyone in the lost condition. He's a liar. He's a thief. Jesus Christ is true, is faithful, is truth. Jesus Christ is light, the devil's darkness. The world has to offer trouble and fear. God has to offer with us through Jesus Christ, peace. And it's so wonderful that He just didn't leave us, as the Scripture said earlier, orphans. He gave us a Comforter to come and care for us and to lead us. The cross is soon to come, but so is the Comforter. The Comforter will be here very soon. Now, as we come to an end, again, verse 30 now, John 14, verse 30, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you. His time is very short. For the prince of this world comes and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." They began their walk. I tell you, it's such a joy to study the Word of God. We're heading for the cross of Calvary. It's not long. We're going to find ourselves on this little trip to the garden and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, the judgment that will be placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His treatment is soon to come. Please that you follow after this these verses of Scripture as we continue to study. But it's so important that He follows. "The Father gave me a commandment, even so I do." Now, will you listen very carefully? The Lord Jesus Christ followed His Father. The Comforter will come upon the leadership as soon as Jesus Christ got home at the Ascension. The Comforter, it was shortly the Comforter came. It was approximately 10 days after the Ascension of the Lord Jesus that the Comforter came. The Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost upon the believers as they began the birth of the church. It's such a joy to study these precious words. And then again, He says, "Arise, let us go hence." As they began their walk, as they started their walk, I believe that they walked through, as was common in the area, through the many vineyards as they passed them, as they walked down the road. And I believe the Lord Jesus continued. It was kind of never a stopping point of teaching. He continued to teach His disciples, and He continues to do that as we walk through this life. We enjoy the walk. It's such a joyful walk in the Lord Jesus. And we can begin now with the 15th chapter, and I would like to read for you in the 15th chapter. He says, "I am the true vine." This is verse 1, John 15:1. "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And the man gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." We're looking at fruit here. We're looking at someone that is attached to the vine, and that makes us the branches. "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman," the Scripture says. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, as I said at the very beginning, we have the precious word, "I am." That's the name of the Lord Jesus. That's who He is, "I am." And He tells us that every branch that is attached, the true vine, every branch, we have no fruit, not fruit. We have fruit, and we have more fruit. All three of those is found in the second verse. And then in verse 5, we have much fruit. So we have not fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Let's look for just a minute before we get into the discussion of fruit bearing or no fruit bearing. Let's look at I am the true vine, as verse 1 tells us. There are three vines that are spoken of in the Word of God, and it's important that we understand these vines and this part of it. And again, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was just walking down the road, and as he's walking down the road and he saw the vineyards, and he began to explain once again another example in the Word of God. He has given us the example of the body and its members, the bride and the bridegroom, the sheep and the shepherd. Each time he tries to tell and explain to us very carefully the relationship that we need to have with him. But there are three separate vines. One, as we look to the first one, we find to be the nation of Israel. Now, if we look at Psalms chapter 80, we can find Psalms chapter 80, and we're going to look at verse 8 and 9 in that chapter. Psalms chapter 80, verses 8 and 9, and it tells us, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land." You remember what happened when the nation of Israel, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then the sons of Jacob, which Jacob's name is changed to Israel, and his sons went down into Egypt, Joseph first, and then the rest followed. And as they found their way down into Egypt, then we went from a few souls to a mighty nation of 2 to 3 million souls as they left Egypt some 400 years later. And then they traveled through the wilderness, and they found their way to the Promised Land by the leadership of God through Moses. They got to the Promised Land. And that's what it's talking about here in Psalms. "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen." He had to clean out the land of Canaan because it was full of heathen. "And planted it," verse 8 says. "And thou preparest room before it, thus cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land." That was the goal of God the Father, to plant, to take this nation and move it from Egypt into Canaan and plant it right there. We have such a beautiful picture of the nation of Israel. There's another picture here that I would like for you to see, and it's in Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to look at a couple of verses of scriptures there. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, "Now will I sing in my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." Now, if you would go with me to the 7th verse of that same chapter, Isaiah 5, 7, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." That's the first vine, or one of the vines, is the nation of Israel. Sad to say, we find, according to other scriptures, that instead of producing good fruit, we find it to produce wild grapes. We have another example in the scripture concerning a second vine, and that is a vine of the earth. And we can find that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 20. Revelation 14, 20. And the next time that we come together, we're going to enjoy that scripture verse. We'll begin right there the next time we can come. So I have shown you one. We're going to find the first vine is the nation of Israel. The second vine is called the vine of the earth. And the next is the vine being the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine, here according to John chapter 15, verse 1. And so we'll begin with Revelation 14 next time we come together. The time goes so quickly as we enjoy this time of fellowship, this time of coming together to study His Word. It's important, my friend, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's so important that you trust in the Lord Jesus today, that you come by faith to Him. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin. Will you confess your sin before Him and ask Him to come into your heart and save you? When you do that, the Holy Spirit will come to live within you and you'll be saved eternally. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?